Can you tell me one example of somebody telling you no?
No.
You're so annoying. Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am excited for this episode. I say that every week, but this week is a little bit different. This week's episode is all about no's, which we don't really talk about very much, but they happen all the time. So I'll get into that a little bit later, but each week, KCB, my co-host, and I will give you our toasts and roasts of the week, our highs and lows. And my toast is pretty funny this week. The toast is good. We give our highs and lows, and then the second half of the episode, usually the majority of the episode, is all about a personal development topic or an interview. And this topic is the word no and how they can actually be kind of good. So do you want to start with your toast or roast, or do you want me to start?
Let's have you start this time. I always start.
Okay. My roast is that your feet smell so bad right now. I want to like punch you in the face. Like, this was not even going to be my roast, but I just got a whiff and I want to throw up. It's so bad.
I'm sorry.
And did you put your shoes outside? No, that's no. I'll take that look as a no. So yesterday you walk in the house,
it was raining,
and I could smell your shoes from the other side of the house. I'm not even exaggerating. And so then I walk over to the front door and I throw them outside.
It's raining out there. They're gonna get wet and even stinkier.
Put them under cover.
Okay, I'll get the tarp out.
I don't think anyone wants to listen to me talk about your smelly feet, but it's really gross.
Smelly cat.
So bad. So, Casey, you need to figure something out because your feet should not smell that bad.
I'm figuring it out.
You are not, though.
I'm working on it.
You're just making me try to live like this, and I don't want to live like this.
How can I live like this?
So, what's your roast?
My roast for the week. First of all, I'm gonna say you're looking very lovely today.
Thank you.
And but my roast for the week is it's not about you.
Okay.
It's basically at work we're just spread really thin, and we're down two guys. One of them got a concussion.
Not at work.
At home, came in all woozy. And another one's out for a month for surgery. And so it's just me, my buddy Chris, and our new guy, Casey.
Casey 1, Casey 2,
Casey
and Christopher.
Casey 2, the three C's.
Ooh.
Killing it. But yeah, we're making it through. And then I'm also, with that, waking up earlier than ever. So I have to do responsible things in the early morning time. But yeah, it's tiring. And I don't know, I don't really have a whole lot of roasty roasts.
I'm just really not looking forward to you being so exhausted for an entire month.
Yeah.
Because when you get exhausted like this, you get sick. And then when you get sick, then nobody's happy.
Nobody's happy at all.
So that's what I'm concerned about with this whole situation.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about it too, but we'll make it through. It'll be fine.
Do you have a toast?
A toast.
A highlight of your week? Something good?
Highlight of my week. So on Monday, I went and took a trailer to Port Angeles.
I did not think this was going to be the highlight of your week. This is not very exciting.
I think it's pretty exciting. I got rid of my old car. That's very exciting. Now I only have two vehicles.
And you only have one vehicle that works.
Yep.
Most of the time.
All the time. So, 60% of the time. All the time.
I am happy that you got rid of your car, but it's really not very exciting considering all the other exciting things that we did.
We did do all kinds of exciting things. Went to Heritage and...
I had the most delicious bourbon cocktail and I cannot wait to have another one. Fun fact, I really like bourbon and this was bourbon with pineapple juice. Mmm, so good.
What's your favorite drink?
My favorite drink is not straight bourbon.
Straight bourbon.
But I do enjoy some bourbon every now and again. So we went to, this is not my toast, but it was a fun experience. A toast, if you will, because we toasted drinks. We went to the distillery in town and I had no idea that they had completely redone it and we had good vodka and bourbon and all kinds of stuff. You had gin.
Yep.
I got a flight of vodka. So it was like little half shots of four different kinds of vodka. And that was not the move. I would not suggest doing that. I much prefer getting a cocktail than shots. I'm not that fancy that I can just do a flight of shots.
Not 17 anymore. Can't do that, man.
I was like, I feel like I'm at a party right now with these little baby shots. And like, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to taste it and I don't know. I could do a flight of beer, a flight of wine, a flight of shots. I'm not classy enough. I don't know how to do it. No. But it was fun. So are you ready for my toast? Because you're going to laugh.
I'm ready.
So today I went on my walk, as I do. So I've talked about this a lot. We have like a little trail by our house. And so sometimes I run on the trail. Most of the time I walk. Sometimes I do a little mix of both. I am by no means a runner. I want to be, but I am just not. But I like running in the trails a little bit better than running on like the sidewalk or anything like that. It's just nice. And there's nobody there usually. And up the hill, down the hill, I just really enjoy it more. You did cross country. Why do I like it more?
Because it's fun to run through the woods.
Yeah, I guess it's just fun. So today I was like, my entire walk today, I was just walking. I was not running. And then I went back in the trail and did a little bit. And I was like, I'm going to run for a while. So I'm running down the hill, and it was all downhill, which was nice. And then somebody else is running up the hill. It was another girl. And so we're both running and I felt like a real runner because somebody saw me running on the trail.
Did you turn around and race her?
No.
Oh man, that would have been awesome.
That didn't even cross my mind. No, but I was like, oh, we just crossed paths. And then I kept going because I was going downhill because I think one of the other reasons why I don't feel like a real runner, one, because I'm not a real runner, but like I'll try to run like on the side of the road or whatever for this like longer distance, but I feel like a car is watching me and they see when I start and when I stop, which I don't, who cares? No one's actually watching me. I'm nothing special to look at. So, but that's how I feel. But this time I'm like, okay, I was running when I crossed paths with her and then she's not looking at me anymore. So she thinks I'm a runner. So that means I'm a runner because, you know, all I care about is what other people think, not what is actually true. So
look at her. She's doing it.
Yeah.
She's just doing it. And it
was like another girl too. And I could tell she was a real runner.
Are you sure? She might have thought the same thing.
Maybe, but I think she was a real runner.
She's like, stopped. Did you give her the
Well, she was going
nod?
Uphill. So yeah. Sometimes I do give people the nod or I smile at people. It's awkward when I'm walking. Because most of the time I walk on the side of the road, walk on the side of the road, and then I'll go on the trails for a little bit, and then I'll walk back home on the side of the road. And a lot of times I cross paths with the same guy, this older gentleman, who is like probably probably in his 70s. And so I'm like, this is my usual company, is this one man. But sometimes I see, like, you know, mom aged people walking around, and all, like, the one older man always says, how are you doing today? I'm like, and I say, good. And but then today I saw somebody, she's like a little bit of an older lady, like middle-aged woman, and I was like, should I smile at these people? And sometimes I don't want people to get mad at me because I don't wear a mask because I'm outside. And no one I've seen lately has been wearing a mask where we are, like, outside walking. It's very distanced. And but I'm like, should I say hello? Should I, what should I do? Like, I don't know. I'm just crazy. I talked about it last week with my anxiety, but I don't know what to. So I usually just smile at people. I don't do the nod. I smile, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, at work today, there was an older guy, probably in, like, his 70s. And he had a dust mask on that was, like, down around his chin. And he's asked me a question. I'm like, yeah, you just head into the office. And they'll get you all written up and everything. And he's like, do I need to have a mask on to go in there? I'm like, yeah. And he's, well, fuck. Puts his dust mask on and walks in. I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, I'm not a fan of the masks either, but gotta do it.
Yeah, gotta do it. So, yeah. So, obviously, I wear one when I have to go inside or anything, but out on the trail, it's a little silly. I thought it was really funny when we were in Oregon and we were at, like, that lookout and people were wearing masks there. I was like, what the heck? That was odd.
Don't sneeze up wind from anybody.
Right? Like, it was windy. but that part was funny. So that concludes Toast and Roast. It is spooky season still, so this was a really interesting podcast episode that I listened to. I like to recommend a podcast. I didn't do it last week, but this week I am recommending Theo Vaughn's podcast this past weekend, and he had a mortician on for his most recent episode. It was 2 hours long, so if you're at all interested in what a mortician does, I thought it was just really interesting. One of the things I love about Theo is he's always talking to people that he's interested in. He doesn't really care what everyone else is doing. And I thought it was just really interesting what a mortician does and his perspective on the world. And really the most interesting part of it was when at the very end, he was talking to him and said, when you die, what would you want to wear in your casket and stuff? And sorry if this is too dark for some people, but I didn't think it was that dark. He was a really jolly guy too, but he said, I'm going to wear a suit, probably a blue suit. But they talked about what certain people want to wear, and that it made me think about what I would want to wear, which I probably shouldn't think about because I'm so young, but
as long as I'm wearing my blue suede shoes, we're good.
You do not have anything of the sort. I was going to say something about your terribly smelling shoes now, but I don't.
You're beating a dead horse, honey.
So that was an interesting podcast episode. Another podcast episode is kind of something that sparked this whole conversation that is the theme of the episode, which is Bert Kreischer's podcast with Steve Byrne. A recent episode of his podcast, this was also going to be my toast, was we watched Steve Byrne's new movie, The Opening Act, which is all about stand-up comedy, and it was a really good movie. I highly suggest it. But Steve Byrne has been on, like, all of the podcasts that I listen to because he's just making the rounds because he has something to promote. And he said something, I talk about it later on after the break, but he inspired me to think about the different no's that I've heard when you're trying to do something and you get a no, or you ask somebody to help you out and they tell you no, or anything like that. We get a lot of no's in our life, and they're not always a bad thing. Almost always it leads to something better. It leads to a good thing. So that's the theme of the episode. I've been wanting to talk about this for a while because there have been a couple things that I've been told no about, and at first it feels like a punch to the gut, but then once I have some time to sit with it, I can look back and see, oh, that was not meant to be. It was trying to teach me this instead. So that's what the whole second half of the episode is about. Anyways, we all hear a lot of no's in our lifetime, and we're all going to, and that's okay. So I am bearing my soul a little bit and talking about these things, and it's something that's really hard for me to do because I always want to come off as super professional, not perfect, but that I, you know, am doing something right. And when you get a no, it feels like everything you do is wrong, but that's not always the case. So I'm going to explain a little bit about behind the scenes of no's that I have gotten with the podcast and with job interviews, and that's what's coming after the break. And we're back. Today I am talking about the word no. So I was really inspired to dive into this topic. I've thought about doing an episode about this for a long time, but it's a little bit uncomfortable to talk about the multiple times that you've been told no or been rejected or been ghosted or all kinds of things. So we experience this all the time, whether it's in work and relationships, in your kind of side hustle, your hobbies, you know, whenever you're trying to get something moving, accomplish something, get it off the ground, you're going to be met with some no's, no matter what it is. So those no's could be coming from yourself. They could be coming from people outside of your control. So you are not always in control. You can just do the best that you can and move forward. So I'm going to be talking about a couple of the no's that I've gotten in the past year or so and what they kind of mean to me. And it's going to be a little nerve-wracking for me to even talk about because I am a type 3 on the Enneagram. If you've listened to the podcast before, you know that I talk about it all the time. But I am the achiever. I don't feel successful unless I am achieving something, getting something done, and I'm extremely competitive. So if I lose, if I don't get a job opportunity, if I don't get something that I've been working on, working towards, you'll see more of what I'm talking about. But if I don't get that, I just feel like the world is over. So that's part of my problems, but if anyone else is a type 3, you totally get it. So I think everyone gets that feeling sometimes, especially now. I mean, there's a lot of people who are out of work looking for jobs and getting a lot of no's just because the market is so competitive. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this. Another reason I wanted to talk about this is because I listened to a podcast episode with Bert Kreischer and Steve Byrne. And Steve Byrne just wrote and directed the movie, The Opening Act, and it's about stand-up comedy. And basically in this conversation they had on Bert's podcast, The Bertcast, if you listen to my podcast, I talk about Bert Kreischer way more than the average person. So I don't know. He's just somebody I really look up to, even though his methods, his lifestyle is so different than the norm. But anyways, back to it. On Bert's podcast, Steve said, a resume is all of the yeses you've got, but nobody ever sees all the no's you got. And as people are looking for jobs, working on resumes, no matter what you're doing, you have had to do a resume at some point, probably. And that seems like a list of everything you've accomplished, especially if you're just looking at career. And that shows so little of what you've tried to accomplish, of what you've worked on in the background. And your worth is not only what fits on this one page resume and what people have said yes to. So Steve was kind of talking about this in the sense of multiple projects. When you're talking about, you know, comedians, writers, directors, they work on multiple projects and they take them to people to get approved, to get money, to get produced, and people say no all the time. So I think
thinking about these people that we really look up to and knowing that they hear no's all the time, that's a little comforting. So just that resume topic really made me think about all the no's. And if somebody who can be so successful like him can talk about the no's, then somebody like me, my no's aren't that big. So I can talk about them too. And I think the more that we talk about it, the more we normalize it, the more comfortable people will feel to keep trying new things and keep moving forward, because it's so easy to get a no and give up. So today I'm talking about some no's. They're going to be in regards to work and in regards to the podcast. And these are recent no's, I would say within the last year. There have been other jobs I've applied for or just things I've tried to do in the past couple years that have gotten a no, and that's okay. But I'm just kind of trying to focus on a smaller group. So about a year ago, I've talked about this before, I went to a conference called Pace to Be Brave in San Diego, and I had just started my podcast a couple months earlier. And when you're starting a podcast, a lot of people will have podcasts that are solely based on guests. So each week is almost an interview and a chat with a guest. I've always known that I didn't want my podcast to only be a guest interview podcast, because I have stuff to say as well. That's why you should have a podcast. Like, you should bring something to the table. And I think I do bring something to the table. So that is why I do a mix of both. But I also know having guests on your podcast can bring a ton of value. It can also grow your podcast, because you are introducing your podcast to your guest's audience as well as your own original audience. So that is obviously why people have guests on their podcast. It's not always just because they're friends and it's fun to have a conversation. People have guests on their podcast to teach their audience something new and to get into this other audience as well. So there was a Facebook community built before this event. And this event that I went to was kind of a networking conference, a personal development, business development conference. And I think it's really great to have a Facebook community where you can connect with people. So when you walk into the room, even if you don't know anybody, even if nobody's going that you knew previously, you can still make those connections beforehand and get ready to connect in person. So that was really nice. And I put myself out there and I said, I'm looking for some guests for my podcast. If you have something really interesting you'd like to teach in the personal development space, or even if it's not in the personal development space, something that is, you know, it means something to you that you think is valuable to teach, I'd love to meet some people and feature them as guests in my podcast. And this was a year ago. So this was before coronavirus and we did literally everything on Zoom. So when I first started this, I was totally thinking I was going to be a purist and say, I'm only going to do podcast interviews in person, because that's really how podcasts were done. And think about it, a year ago, I think a lot of people almost forget that this even was like this before, but we could totally tell the difference between a Zoom interview and an in-person interview. And the Zoom ones were often so awkward, but technology is getting better. People are talking to each other using these technologies more and more. So the interviews on Zoom are getting better and better. Side tangent. But anyway, so I was like, this is my opportunity to meet people who are interested in the same things that I am, are inspired by the same type of people that I am. And then it was scary to meet new people and say, do you want to be on my podcast? It's just a baby podcast. It doesn't have a ton of listens, views, but it's growing. It's brand new. And I hadn't interviewed anyone before. So I set up a little Google form and people were excited. It's interesting when it's a group of people who are kind of go-getters and they want to get their name out there as well. It's a great way to meet new people and really move both of you forward in whatever field you're looking to be in. So I had quite a few people reach out and I basically figured that I'd only have time for one actual interview per day, because our days were chock full of stuff to do. So I picked three people who I felt aligned most with me and what I wanted my show to teach, represent, information I'd like to hear from. This was extremely nerve-wracking. I'm at the airport and I was writing down questions to ask. I'm really prepping, and all these people who I had set up these interviews with, we had planned on doing it during the lunch break of our day of conference things. So I kept in communication with these people. It's not like I ghosted them or anything like that and just didn't talk to anyone, but I reached out, and on the first day I said, are you able to, you still want to meet up? Because we had planned a place to meet, or we were going to figure out a place to meet. I don't really remember. It's about a year ago now. So they said, you know, I'm just starving. I'm going to go get lunch with my friend. I don't think it's going to work out. And that was supposed to be my first interview. And I was like, it's like a punch to the gut a little bit. You're like, dang, I was so excited. And it's really exciting because these people I was looking to interview, I just thought they would provide so much value, and I was legitimately excited to meet them. And all of the people I do interview on my show, I get so excited to meet them, and I learn so much from them. And I just want the people who listen to my podcast to enjoy them as much as I do. And I think they do, because they're pretty awesome. So I also have to understand boundaries. So I'm not going to say, how dare this person tell me no, we already had a plan. And, you know, you have to understand the situation. And it depends on a lot of different factors. But if you're in a networking situation like this and something comes up, you think you're going to meet somebody. I've been to conferences since this, and I understand people are meeting and making plans with a lot of different people. And you have small snippets of time. And if this is your time and you're like, I got to go get something to eat so I'm fueled for the rest of the day because I'm doing this, 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 and this, you got to understand that and let people just do what they can. The next person, this was my second interview. I had just accepted, you know, first one, kind of a Murphy's Law or whatever. It's like, the first time you're always going to get a no anyways. Like, it was almost too good to be true. And I have no hard feelings towards these people who were unable to do it, because I completely understand you get busy. You don't have the time. But just being able to remember that when you're thinking it's like, it's not you. They don't hate you. It's the busyness of the situation. In this instance, I got another story for you. So this next one, I met up with somebody, I found them after the day of conferencing, and I said, are you still on for tomorrow? And then they told me, you know, I don't think so. I was just like, oh my gosh, is this whole thing going to be a failure? So that's when you start doubting yourself, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, I was getting so excited. These people reached out to me and they were excited to talk to me. And now they're saying, no, never mind. I'm like, did I do something wrong? Is it my face? Like, I don't know. And so you think about these kind of things and you just kind of accept the situation. And on day three of the conference, I kind of realized, you know, I don't really think this is going to be conducive for an interview, just trying to squeeze it in during a lunch break. And so I reached out to this next person. Also on day three, we check out of the hotel. So I don't have my room anymore that I had before to use for an interview space. So I'm like, this is my one day. If this person even says yes, it's going to be messy to figure out how we even do this. Keep in mind, I still haven't done an interview yet. So I'm like, gosh, I'm just really like hustling. I'm just trying to make it happen. And I reach out to my person for day number three, and she says, yeah, I don't really think it's going to be the best for an interview, but we can definitely go have lunch together and just talk and hang out. And that was so much more beneficial than anything. Like, wow, I'm almost going to get emotional about it, because this person really means so much to me now. And wow, I didn't think I was going to get emotional. I am a little embarrassed, but I'm not going to get sappy. But Joanna was a guest on the podcast later on. We did a Zoom interview, and she has also been coaching me on money, and she's extremely valuable at what she does. Okay, we're done with the emotions, but understanding why these interviews didn't work out is the benefit from the no's. And getting those no's, it hurt. It hurt at first, especially one that was literally to my face. And I was like, oh my gosh, shoot. But getting the no's made me realize, you know, you can't always expect everything's going to work out exactly how you want it. It's not an ideal situation always. Things cancel at the last minute. People are busy, especially during these networking situations. And I've had an episode before all about networking and how it makes me extremely nervous and social anxiety and all of those things. So that is something that I want to commend anyone who is just a great networker and they're at conferences and they're shaking everyone's hands and all those things. And I'm like, it's freaking hard. So I had to, number one, be proud of myself for setting things up. And, you know, it didn't work out for a reason. And that's okay. And really what I also really learned was, sorry, I just said really like five times, but what I learned was that the connection, the real networking connection, was so much more beneficial to have first than going into an interview basically blind. And I had talked to all these people in depth about what they do and what they'd like to talk about before this, but being able to have lunch with Joanna and her friend at the conference and just actually hang out and talk about why we were at this conference together and just create a friendship first really made a big difference when we actually were able to have our interview. It was so much more comfortable. And so really it sucks because those were my first experience with going out and asking people to be on the podcast. And I was so nervous to put myself out there. And I thought, what if they judge me? What if they listen to an episode with me and Casey? And they're like, these people are so annoying and terrible. And oh my God. And they could have, maybe, you know, they could have, and that means they're not the right fit. So no's are really bringing you closer to the right fit, the right direction in so many ways, even though getting the first no, the second no, the third no, it gets rough sometimes, but the first one is kind of the best because then you're ready for the next one. So that was my first experience asking people to be on the podcast. And people ask me sometimes, how do you get guests on your podcast? And I don't want to divulge too much into this, but some of it is from specific groups that I'm a part of. And then others, it is people reaching out to me. It's really a mix of both. So I am not a super professional, fancy podcast with an agency and agents and people reaching out to me and saying, you know, I'm just a baby podcast. But that's a peek behind the curtain there. And the next one I'm going to talk about hurt a little bit more. And I want to talk about a professional way, in my opinion, to say no, and a way that I would really prefer people not to say no. So, like I said, I reach out in a specific group, usually on social media, and I see, would anyone be interested in being a guest on this podcast? And these are kind of what I talk about. This is what we like to do, what we're, you know, stuff like that. And people want to share. They want to get their name out there. They want to teach more. And it's really fun to have my audience learn more about something that someone's doing. So I like to do it in a very specific, small Facebook group too, or social media group of some sort, not a large, like, I'm asking 20,000 people, and then it's people who don't even align with what I'm trying to do. So I like to have a common thread between me and somebody else, why we're in the same Facebook group together. We have similar values. We have similar people who inspire us. So I ask in the group, and it's a smaller group. It's less than 1,000 people, I believe. And I had a couple of people reach out to me and they said, I'd love to do this. I think I'm a good fit. And then some people, I will tell them, I don't really know if you're a great fit, because there are people who have reached out to me before. And I'm like, no, this is not exactly what I like to talk about. There's people who, specifically, I had like 5 people who were health and fitness coaches reach out. And I'm like, I don't want to do like 5 weeks of health and fitness, because I am not the healthiest or fittest person. And every once in a while, I think that's great, but I don't want that to be like a theme for an entire month. So anyways, that's an example of why I would say no. A couple people reached out to me and I tried to get back to everybody. And the people who I was especially interested in, I said, I'll email you or message you on another platform and we will connect and figure out what would work and what we'd like to talk about, etc. So somebody gave me their email address and I emailed them and gave them, you know, questions I'm interested in learning about their business. And I have a very strong feeling that what happened with this person was that they looked at how many followers I had on Instagram, and it's not a ton on my podcast page. And then they just never got back to me. And it was one of those things where that's one of the no's that hurt the worst, when it is something that it's so easy to say, you know, I don't actually think this is going to work out right now, maybe another time. I just feel like that's so simple to say, but to basically ghost someone and just never reach out again after having multiple conversations, that's the absolute worst. And also, I don't date, like I have a long-term boyfriend, so I don't understand, like I feel like a lot more people are used to this now. They do online dating and they're like, if I'm done talking to somebody, I'm done talking to them. But I just don't think it's not a good feeling. So I just don't want to do that to anyone else. And I don't want anyone to do that to me. So that's one that is frustrating, because when you have no idea why somebody stopped reaching out to you, you know, all the negative thoughts will come in your head. You know, is it because I don't have enough followers? Did they listen to one and they hate me? Do they think my voice is annoying? Do they think whatever? So that's another no. So it's not all sunshine and rainbows. You know, I just ask 10 people and they all say yes and they love it and we're wonderful and we're a great fit for each other all the time. It's not always like that. It's a lot of work. So there we are. The last thing I will say with the podcast guests is that all the ones that I've had, I am extremely grateful for. And I also am grateful for anyone who's told me no, or not at this time, or even the people who are just like, no, I don't think we're a good fit, and who do that with their actions instead of their words. Because if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. And if, you know, sometimes that is an annoying saying when you're talking about something deeper, but this is, you know, this is my hobby, my business. This is my podcast, my platform. And if somebody doesn't want to be there, I don't want to force anyone to be here. So that's what I have. And really the relationships that I have made are so good with all of my guests. And I'm just extremely grateful for all of them. And it's okay. It's okay to tell somebody no. It's okay to have somebody tell you no. Because it is a group effort with podcasting, with interviews, with your audience. It's got to be a joint effort. And if one side does not want to be part of that effort, and it's not, people will be able to tell. So I'm extremely grateful for the ones that I've had. And I'm grateful for my nose, because it helped me learn more, get thicker skin, and get a clearer idea of what I want on the show. So that's related to the podcast. I'm going to get one step deeper, bare my soul a little bit more, and talk about the no's I've gotten with job interviews. And those ones can hurt a little bit differently. So whenever you get a no, it's very, very hard not to take it personally in two different ways. In a job interview, when you get a no, it's like, why wasn't I good enough? Or if you know you're good enough, it's like, what was it about me that wasn't right? And sometimes you hear you're not the right fit and you're like, what do I have to do to be the right fit? And you, sometimes you're going to know, sometimes you're not going to know. You're always supposed to ask, what could I have done better? Always ask, always, always, always ask after an interview, because you might learn you said something and, or you did something, or you acted in a particular way that was not how you wanted to portray yourself at all. That recently happened, not recent, but at one time I did a job interview and somebody said, you just really didn't sound very excited about it. And I said, oh my God, I cannot believe that. And I totally believe them. That's how I portrayed myself. But in my head, I had all this nervous energy. So I was, you know, just probably trying to just stay calm and keep my voice steady instead of, you know, but I am like, I was so excited about this. And I can't believe I sounded like I just didn't even care. Like, so always asking afterwards is extremely beneficial, because then I knew, oh, shoot, that is something I need to portray in my speaking. And as somebody who speaks a lot, there's always more to be learning. So I applied for two positions with the same group of people. And the first time I didn't get it, it was a far off thing. I didn't think I was going to get it. I was a little bit underqualified, and that was frustrating. But I was, you know, they always say that men apply for jobs that they're not fully qualified for, and women do not. So I said, I'm going to do it. So I applied, and the no from this first one that I didn't get really helped me understand what I would need to do to get to that place, to get to that level where that position would be a possibility for me, or a more likely possibility for me. The second one I was qualified for, and this was the one where during part of the interview process, they said, you didn't sound excited about it. And I said, oh my gosh, shoot. But this one had a lot more interviews throughout. So I had talked to a lot of people about this position, and I had learned a lot about what they were looking for. And I was very, very up to the end there, I guess you could say. And I got the no, and I asked why. And they said, you know, it's just, this person's a better fit right now. And that, you know, that's an answer. It's not always the answer you want to hear. But at that point, when you're getting a no and you're asking why, there's, if you're really, really wanting something, no answer that you hear is really going to be comforting at first. So that's something, just, I would come back to it a week later, a month later, and then digest it again when you're a little bit farther away from the situation. But really, if you think about it from a higher up position, if you were hiring somebody and you really didn't think they're going to be a good fit, or the right fit, or somebody else is a better fit for your team working as a cohesive unit, it's extremely understandable. I want, whenever I'm managing a team, I want it to be extremely cohesive. I don't want there to be a loose wheel. Not that I think I would ever be a loose wheel, but if somebody can make the wheel turn more smoothly, that is all that matters. So the no's, learning that I got a no for a similar position is something that I tried for before, and getting that no twice, I was like, maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing right now. Maybe I'm supposed to be doing something else. No matter how much work you put into something, how much effort, how much enthusiasm, sometimes you're just not the right fit. And that is It sucks to hear. And I know a ton of people are hearing that right now. I've seen my friends posting on LinkedIn, on Facebook about their job search struggles. And sometimes it depends on your situation, and maybe you're looking for a change, or maybe you're looking for, I'll take whatever I can get. And if you're just looking for a change and you get the no, then it's not the right change, or it will help you clear your idea of what you really want. Once you get to that point where it's, you're at the yes or no, and you get the no, you're like, oh, I was almost there. It's so much easier to kind of chisel your way and fix these little things that you want to fix rather than being three steps behind and not getting to the point of yes or no. If you just submit your resume and you don't hear back, that's where you're like, shoot, I have no idea where I stand. It's very similar to the podcast guest situation. Getting any answers back about why no, why not me, is so much more beneficial than not hearing back, not trying at all. So getting used to no is a very tough thing to do, but it is an extremely important skill to have, whether you're running your own business, whether you're selling something, whether you are applying for jobs, whether you're trying to make a change, you're going to hear no. You're going to hear it over and over and over again. Nobody who has anything that you want got there without hearing no multiple times. There's no one. If you think about people who you really look up to, they've been told no so many times. And that is how they got where they are, is because they got used to hearing no and what to do after you hear no. And I think the big thing with me, with the podcast, hearing no or getting ghosted or whatever, was it kind of fueled me a little bit to say, I'm proud of my product. If somebody doesn't want to be a part of this product, that's perfectly fine. They're not meant to be here, but I'm proud of this, and that's what matters. And when you're applying for jobs and you get a no, you have to continually work and smooth out the kinks and continually be getting better all the time, because otherwise you're just going to keep going in and getting the same answers. So if you hear back, this is what you could improve, and you do nothing about it, that's on you. But if you hear, this is what you can improve, and you say, I'm taking these steps to improve this, that makes a world of a difference, a world. So really, when I heard Steve Byrne talking about how your resume is a list of people who said yes to you, or that's not exactly how he said it, but it's a list of all your yeses. Make a list of all your no's and think about what they mean to you, what they taught you. No is only the starting point, and it can teach you so much. Last thing I'll talk about is, in sales, you're going to get a lot of no's, whether you're trying to sell whatever, we'll talk about it. If you want to sell tickets to a sporting event, that's what I work in, is sports. We can't sell tickets to sporting events right now, but that's besides the point. We'll pretend that we can. The guys on our sales team, and girls, we have no girls at the moment. It used to be all girls, and now it's all boys. Anyways, so the guys on our sales team, they hear no a lot. But if they hear no and then take an hour to be annoyed about hearing no, that's such a waste of time. So you have to learn what to connect, what to learn from the no's. Why is somebody saying no? Are they saying no, not right now, and you should reach out again later? Are they saying no because of this price point's too high? Well, maybe you should reach out to them with a different price point that might work better for them, for their family, for whatever. Learning the why behind the no. That's my real big point this week, is learn the why behind the no, and you got to keep going. Even if you hear no over and over and over again, you got to keep going if you really care about it, because you're going to hear no. And I've said this before, a lot of the times when I'm doing these podcasts and talking, I'm talking about things that I need to hear myself. So if you hear no, you got to keep going. You got to keep moving. And then eventually it will pay off. If you learn from your no's and if you keep moving forward, you're going to have what you want. That is the end of the episode for this week, talking about no's. Such an ugly word, but it can really help you so much, get clearer on what you want, where you want to go, what you want to do, and how you can get there. It's so good. I'd much rather have a no and a why not than a no answer. A no answer is the worst. So stop ghosting people and have a wonderful week. You can always give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, listen, follow us on Spotify, and now we're on YouTube for this video, just part of it. So we'll see how you guys like the YouTube. I have a love-hate relationship already with YouTube. So I'm trying to figure out how I can make this work in a good way, but it ain't easy. So hope you guys have a great week and party on.
Thank you for listening to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. You can listen to the podcast and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, listen on Spotify and wherever podcasts are found, and follow the pod on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod to stay up to date on all of our great content. Check it out.